Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When God had formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and then created Eve from out of Adam's side, he placed them into the Garden of Eden to work and to protect it, to enjoy God's provision. He set in the midst, that is, in the middle of the garden, two trees, one the tree of life and the other the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the Lord God commanded that they should not eat from the knowledge, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that point forward, that tree was their place of worship. It was the place where Adam and Eve, every time they passed by that tree, remembered God's word, praised him for his abundant provision of all of the fruits of the trees in that garden, where they thanked and praised him, where they served and obeyed him, where they remembered God's word and rejoiced in the giving of life that he not only gave them in the beginning, but continued to give them through the tree of life. Another word entered that garden through the serpent, the most crafty of all animals. Did God really say? And seeing that the fruit of that tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and that it would make them wise, like unto God, they ate, and they saw that they were naked and they were ashamed. Their eyes were opened. They sinned. They disregarded the word of God and instead followed the word of the serpent. When the Lord God came into their midst then, in the cool of the day, as it was his custom to visit with his people, his creation, Adam and Eve heard him walking, and they were afraid. And so they hid. The God who knows all things, the God who is all-powerful, then calls to them. He invites them to come to him. He knows where they are. He knows what they have done. And yet he calls. Come to me. Why are you hiding? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? And there is the first sacrifice made, the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins, the death of the innocent for the guilty. The Lord God fashioned for the man and the woman clothes from that animal. He clothed them himself. And then they feasted. As they once had feasted together in the cool of the day, before they fell into sin, now they feasted on this animal. They rejoiced over the forgiveness of sins purchased and won by the Lamb of God that slayed its blood for their sins and covered them in their shame. Our Lord's parable picks up where Adam and Eve left off. Now the Lamb of God is not a lamb, but it is Jesus, who has been sent into the world so that by his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, he may make his creation his own again, that we may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. That his rising from the dead would be our justification, our reconciliation back to our God, that we would be clothed in the righteousness of Christ himself, that we would be brought back into God's family. And so Jesus tells a parable about how God calls, how he invites. The word for invite and the word for call is the same word. He calls them. He sends word to them. It is a present tense verb, which means it is continually happening. He doesn't do it just once in the past. He calls continually. Even when initially there is resistance, he calls. He sends his servants, come. Come to the wedding feast. Come. Enjoy the bounty that I provide for you. Come and celebrate the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. And in this call, in this invitation, God demonstrates his favor. That is, he shows and gives and offers his grace. There was nothing in them, those who were invited, that caused God to invite them. But only because of his divine fatherly goodness and mercy does he extend the call to them. Come and celebrate with me. Come and feast upon my fattened calves and my oxen. Come and rejoice over the wedding feast of my son. In this call, he also demonstrates his desire for friendship with those invited. That is fellowship. He wants to be with them as he once was with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He wants them to be together with him, to enjoy what he has provided, to rejoice in his gifts without end. And in this invitation, in his call, he demonstrates his utter seriousness. That this is life and death. That coming to him means life. And staying away from him means certain destruction. But because of his favor, because of his desire for fellowship and friendship, he calls. Come, everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But many, so many, reject his call. They despise it. They do not want his favor. The text says that they make light of it, that they pay no attention to it, that they think it is nothing. They do not take it seriously. They take it for granted because they have more important things to do. One to his field, another to his business. How many, week in, week out, reject God's call to enjoy his wedding feast because of a field? Whether it is a ball field or some other field. Others mock it, and they kill the messengers. They reject his friendship. They do not want fellowship with the king. And so they despise the call, but in despising the invitation, they despise the one who invites them. He doesn't, they think, have the right to tell them what to do. He is not really king. I am king of my own castle, of my own life. What does the Lord God, what does the king do to those who reject his call, who reject him as king, who refuse to be ruled by his favor and his friendship? He sends his servants and destroys them. But he calls still. The call still rings out. His servants go out to the highways and the byways, to the hedges and the rows. And they gather, both the good and the evil alike. And some who are gathered into that wedding feast, they despise the garments that the king provides. They want to come in on their own terms. They do not want the righteousness of Christ. They want their own works. They do not want to heed the word of God. They want to do their own thing. And they are cast out, bound hand and foot. You don't get to tell the host how to run his party. He rejected the seriousness of that call, that God means business. This text is about the reign of God among us and how he rules. He rules by his word, by calling and inviting us to enjoy what he has won and accomplished by the death and resurrection of his son, which is his wedding feast. It is how he attained his bride, the church. And this is what is celebrated week in and week out. When our bridegroom comes in our midst and feeds us with his own body and blood. But the warning is, if you will not be ruled, if God will not reign in your life by means of his grace and favor, by means of his friendship and fellowship with us, then you will be ruled by him as the king who destroys in his wrath. This is a call for us to believe and to trust in the word of God and to prize that call above everything else in our lives. We all know that the way that you practice in a sport is the way that you will play in the game. If we have spent our lives practicing not heeding his call, if we have spent our lives not practicing receiving and rejoicing in the goodness of what God has done for us at his wedding feast, do we really think on the last day when that call comes, that we will listen to it. If we do not heed his call daily to rise and put the old Adam to death, will we listen to it on the last day? That is why St. Paul says this: pay attention how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. That though the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature seek to draw us away by a different call and a different invitation, be wise. Cling to the Word of God. Listen to what it says. Receive the goodness and the mercy, the grace and the fellowship that he brings and offers to you in this great wedding feast. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Gather together with your bridegroom and with all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage one another by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs one to another, praying and giving thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we make the best use of time. We make the best use of time by keeping worship central. Just as it was for Adam and Eve, the central thing, the very thing in the middle of the garden, so it is also for us, that everything, everything that we are, everything that we can be, radiates from this wedding feast. So come to the feast. Rejoice in God's grace and mercy. Enjoy his fellowship. And take this seriously, because it is a fantastic party, where we are gathered not just with one another, but with the whole company of heaven, here in time for all eternity. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.